needlepoint, cross-stitch, embroidery, the pastimes of a bygone age, perhaps a gentler time. But a new book by Bloomington textile artist and teacher tells the story of how a delicate craft came to play a mighty role in a turbulent, violent era. WFIU's Yael Cassander spoke with the author of The Embroiderers of Ninue.
Carmen Benavente had always been interested in textiles. So as a young wife and mother in Bloomington, Indiana in the early 1960s, she took up a technique then in vogue.
A friend gave me a book on crewel embroidery. And instead of knitting and keeping my son company while he was playing choo-choo train up and down the deck, I took this up using yarn left over from knitting.
At first, the Chilean native was a little thrown off by the terminology.
I heard crewel embroidery, and I said, what is that? Thinking that it was C-R-U-E-L. It's embroidery with wool yarn and a certain twist to the yarn.
Soon, Carmen had come up with her own twist on the technique and submitted a notice advertising a crewel embroidery class to the local paper. Workshop 21, named after the 21 stitches she taught, was born. In the workshop, Carmen observed how the medium allowed for women from diverse backgrounds to express themselves.
I had someone who was from India. I had someone who was Polish. I had somebody English. I had Americans, of course. And there was something so identifiable to their culture, to their background, that I thought, I want to take this to Chile.
Visiting her native country in 1969, Carmen tried to persuade the government to sponsor an embroidery workshop as part of its cultural programming for women. But the regime in power was about to be voted out and couldn't undertake the initiative. By the time Carmen returned to visit her ailing father in 1971, things had changed drastically.
When we arrived in Ningüe that afternoon, I saw Muera Benavente, written on the post office wall.
In other words, death to Benavente.
That's right.
As landowners established since the 18th century, the Benavente family was vilified in the new socialist order. Their estate, Coroné, was slated for expropriation by the Allende administration.
That night, I couldn't sleep. I was very disturbed, and also I was very afraid, when I've never been afraid in Coroné.
In the midst of all of this hostility toward your family and what could be some justifiable anger on your family's part about this property being taken away, you chose to reach out to the people in the village.
The thing, Yael, is this. Coroné is what made me. Is really what made me. And so the relationship that I had with the people was very close. So to me, this was a bomb that evening. Really, it was a real inner earthquake. That's when I hit on the idea of I could invite some people to stitch. That it's outlandish, ridiculous. Absolutely. I mean, what does it mean? Stitch. But at that moment, stitching to me was my instrument, was my tool. I derived enormous pleasure from working with a group in Workshop 21 here. So the next morning, I told my family. They thought I was crazy. How are you going to do this? You don't live here. I was even told that I was too old, and I was only 50.
Still, Carmen was unflappable. After Mass one morning, she invited some women to gather the following day to learn a few stitches.
I was trying to explain to them that their little village was very important. It was very important to me, had been very important to me, and that I was doing this in the spirit of giving thanks.
Although the first meeting was well attended, many of the would-be embroiderers expressed second thoughts when Carmen explained a basic ground rule.
There is one condition. You have to make your own designs. Yeah, but I cannot do not even a straight line. You know, that's always the answer. And I said, well, then you do a crooked one. And, you know, a crooked line embroidered is very, very attractive.
The women overcame their artistic inhibitions to create images of the world they knew. In Carmen's book, we see their colorful depictions of rural activity, the harvest, the hunt, a eucalyptus tree, a willow, even the village's first TV set installed in the municipal building.
There was this need to show how we live and who we are.
The embroiderers had undertaken their craft at just the right moment. Within 6 weeks, there was the chance to exhibit.
A new gallery was opening in Santiago, and they were looking for the material for the opening. And so I showed them what the women were doing, and the owner of the gallery said, absolutely, we open with this at the beginning of August.
The opening was fantastically well attended.
There was Mrs. Allende. There was a diplomatic corps. There were people from the government. And everything sold. I think that one or two things didn't sell. And then, of course, the press was all there.
From that first sold-out show, the embroiderers of Ningwe were launched.
When I came back with the earnings from of the exhibition, they were stunned. And it was so little money. I mean, it was really so little money. But they said, look, from now on, you don't have to give us any material, fabric or yarns. We are on our own. It was fantastic.
Not only had their work reached an international clientele that has continued for the past four decades to patronize them, the embroiderers' creativity and professionalism empowered them socially.
It started in their homes. From the very beginning, parents and husbands and children, I mean the whole family, were supportive. I imagine because, after all, embroidery is sewing and it is not a threatening thing. I remember talking to this man that I translated for, and I said, well, what happens if your wife makes more than you do? And he said, that's perfectly all right. It's somebody contributing to the household. I mean, that's very advanced.
Carmen Benevente visits her friends in Ningwe regularly and has pledged to donate proceeds of her book to the reconstruction of the village, damaged by Chile's massive earthquake in February 2010. As for her ongoing role...
I've often thought that I'm only the fertilizer. I only gave them the stitches. Yeah. They didn't know that they could do anything with them, but they did. And then to see that absolutely virgin soil begin to sprout and to bloom, I mean, it is one of the most incredible experiences. What I would like to instill in the people who would want to do something comparable, just don't look out, look in. Because inside you, there is an inexhaustible source.
For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Yael Cassander.
Carmen Benevente's book, The Embroiderers of Ningwe, Stitching Chilean Rural Life, was published earlier this year by Texas Tech University Press. You can see photographs of some of the tapestries in the book, as well as a link to purchase it on our website at wfiu.org/arts. The author gives a talk about the Ningwe Project on Monday, September 20th in the Wittenberger Auditorium in the Indiana Memorial Union on the Bloomington campus. Daydreams softly collided and took all my